So, yes, I have 13 children. My husband and I made 8 of them all by ourselves, and 5 of them we picked out of a catalog and brought home. So in a household that size, there's things that are really, really important, like structure and rules. Things would just melt apart really quickly if we didn't have structure and we didn't have rules. And in fact, that's kind of reflects one of my biggest fears is what happens when the structure or what happens when the rules kind of melt down. And we have, you know, we have the normal rules like don't punch your brother. This morning I told someone you may not hit him with a Bible. Just, you know, that kind of stuff, 2 people on the trampoline at a time. But we also have these 6 teenagers right now. 2 of them are perfectly functional, insightful, intelligent human beings who really don't require a lot of rules because they're old enough now, you know, that they have kind of learned from their mistakes. They know right and wrong. They can figure stuff out. They don't need a lot of rules. When they've done something wrong, well, they either learn from their own dumb mistake or we deal with it. The other 4, though, all have special, very special needs and some sort of brain damage that precludes them from being able to have this ability to not require rules. So they just can't think their way through anything. They can't figure out how to solve a problem. They don't know right from wrong. They don't know what is the right thing to do. They just don't. So they have lots of rules, and they have really strange rules for teenagers. Things they have rules about sometimes where they can stand, who they can stand with, who they can look at any given moment. There's lots of rules about where they may and may not be naked. There's just all kinds of these rules, right? And we have these rules for them for pretty much 3 reasons. The first reason would be to keep them safe, because for kids who don't know how to make good decisions, they need to be kept safe. And to keep their siblings and everybody around them safe, because sometimes they do really stupid things. And the third one is kind of self-serving for my husband and myself, that we want them to follow the rules so we don't have to clean up their messes. Because when they do something stupid, they're also not smart enough to figure out how to fix it. So we get to fix all the problems. We get the calls from the teachers and the parents and the siblings and the whatevers. We just don't like dealing with it. So there's 1 rule that actually 2 of those children have broken within the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it's a biggie. It's a really, really biggie for them. The rule is a no-dating rule. They are not allowed to date. They're not allowed to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And obvious for children like this, you know, it's a safety reason for them. Also, turns out a pain in the butt for my husband and I to sort out at the end of it all. So I want to tell you about what happened when 1 of those 4 broke this rule a few weeks ago. And she's 17 years old. She's originally from India. We adopted her 5 years ago, so when she was about 12, we think. We are her 6th placement, her 4th family. 2 of those placements were orphanages in India. And she is lovely. She has long dark hair, and she's just beautiful inside and out. She's the smiliest thing you'd ever want to meet. She's super friendly. She would make friends with any one of you in a minute. She loves her younger siblings. She loves hanging out with our elderly neighbor. She's beautiful. She's truly a lovely human being, and actually kind of one of my heroes. But she broke this no dating rule, and she has past in India was very, very traumatic. So she has a lot of things that are going on because of that. She's, first of all, very low IQ, so she's not handling the trauma well. Because she was abused and neglected in her original home, she lost her hearing, and she now has partial hearing, and she wears a hearing aid. Because of the hearing issues, she has language issues, so she can't understand or express herself very well. She has speech issues. She's not easily understood with her speech. It's not real intelligible. But her actually primary diagnosis is PTSD from this trauma, all the trauma she's experienced. And that affects everything else. So she had decided that she's in only special ed classes at school, but she has a bunch of friends through the Best Buddies program at her public high school. And she had decided to get some of these general ed good buddies to invite a young man who's now graduated and going to the community college to come to an event that they were having. So for whatever reason, these friends decided that would be an okay idea, and she managed to get together with this boy. At which point, her sister with Down syndrome informed us, "It was disgusting. She flirted shamelessly." So apparently there was quite a bit of flirting going on. There was quite a bit of interaction going on. And what she brought out of that was this idea that this young gentleman was now her boyfriend. Not only was he her boyfriend, but she was pretty much convinced that they were going to get married and have children together as well. So here's the messy part of cleaning up these rules, is I get to be the one to look in her face when the tears are streaming down her face, and she's telling me, you don't understand, Mom. We're going to get married, and I love him, and he loves me, and we're going to have children. And I had to look into that beautiful face, and I had to say, no, he's not your boyfriend. You aren't his boyfriend. You're not going to have a boyfriend. You're never going to have a boyfriend. In fact, you kind of need to not think about even getting married. We don't think you can have that kind of relationship. And you certainly are never going to be able to accept the responsibility of bearing and raising children. Devastating. And she was devastated by that. And she sat in her closet that night for 3 hours and just bawled her eyes out. There was no comforting her, nothing we could do. So the next day she went to school and she put on a happy face all day, but she got home from school and, we start rehashing it all over again. And she starts talking to me. She starts saying she's going to run away, and this is frequent for her. And when she starts saying she wants to run away, what I now know is that it's now an emotional issue. It's not a behavioral issue. It's the trauma creeping in, and she's been triggered somehow. So I see that as a flag. She's going to run away. She's going to run away to her original adoptive family in the United States. And